Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. On this Tuesday, we're going to step away from our normal across the pond version because we have, I'm going to call it breaking news. It's been breaking for quite some time, and we maybe see a solution. John Bolin has been traveling with us on the Arise USA tour he did for 30 days through Martinsville, Indiana. He talked about every single time that he had the opportunity to speak, he talked about how animal rights organizations often partner up with law enforcement because the law enforcement are misled, confiscate animals usually unconstitutionally, and don't have the authority to even do it. What is behind all of this? Well, we have an example from Goliad, Texas today who has been there, done that. Eddie Shelton, how are you today?
All right, yourself?
Nah, I've never been better. In Kentucky, headed for West Virginia, then tomorrow Pennsylvania, so just touring the country. First of all, your ranch near Goliad, tell us a little bit about your ranching operation.
Yes, sir. I'm a fourth generation rancher here in Goliad. Was born and raised here, as well as all my family, and we have owned property and leased property throughout Goliad County.
Mm-hmm. Cow-calf operation?
Raise cattle and horses as well, so...
Oh, what kind of horses?
Just quarter horses, ranch horses.
Yeah.
And one of my brothers, they're all in the team roping, so they train and sell team roping horses as well.
And almost a completely unrelated matter. Boy, this horse market come out of nowhere, didn't it? Good horses worth some money now.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So... To kind of give us what happened here, where did it start, and how do we get to this point, even though we haven't told people what this point is? What happened first?
Yeah, it was, I guess, about mid-May is whenever one of our local constables decided to partner up with some outside county entities, law enforcement, from several different counties, I guess, Lark County and Brazoria County. It was around May 21st whenever they came to the properties in Goliad County with the a deputy from Brazoria County, Humane Society people from Brazoria County, and a contractor. And they came and looked at five different properties of a Gerald Frankie and George Padilla's properties. Gerald Frankie passed away, I guess, around first part of January, and the Padillas had helped Frankie, I guess, for almost 25, 30 years, was like his right-hand man, and they were also partners on a bunch of cows. And whenever, I guess, the Humane Society, along with our constable, showed up, they went to one of our JPs and... also used, I guess, from DeWitt County, a neighboring county, used a drone operator from that county and to search the parks, and all in which they never did contact any of our local government. As far as our sheriff, they said they didn't want to involve him or our judges. Took it upon herself to involve all these other law enforcement officers that were outside of Goliad County to 38 head of cattle.
Wait a minute, I got to interrupt you there. I don't understand. How can somebody think they can do all of this without even contacting or including your county sheriff? None of this makes any sense to me.
No, sir, and it didn't make sense to any of us around here either. So that's why pretty much every farmer and rancher in Goliad County stood up and helped this family out.
What did you learn, or do you know, what are the legalities of drone use for capturing footage? Does that require a warrant? How does that work?
Yes, sir, it does require a warrant. And during the appeal hearing, that's one of the main reason it was thrown out.
Uh-huh.
by the new judge that heard the appeal hearing. It was, the footage was taken, with the drone without a search warrant. So they were actually flew it over, all five properties to gather information, on the cattle, the property, what have you, and they didn't follow the proper procedure.
Hmm. So 138 cows were actually taken into custody. What happened then?
The 138 head were taken into four counties away from Goliad County. They left the county.
Mm-hmm.
And they were held at an undisclosed location in Brazoria County. We're assuming it was property that belonged to this contract cowboy that it came in with the Humane Society that day. And they seized the cattle, they actually had a hearing about 5 days after that, and the local JP that overheard the case sided with the Humane Society and the constable, so they were not going to get any of their cattle back. And at that point, we were all ranchers, farmers, and all in Goliad County all stood up, pitched in funds, and secured the Padilla family a new lawyer. And about 11 days later, had the appeal case and a new judge, and we actually won the case.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 days, that was on July 2nd, whenever they had that case, and due to the holiday weekend, the cattle were brought back on July 6th. They were delivered back to Goliad County. And about 14-15 local ranchers all met the trucks whenever they showed up and helped them work them, vaccinate worms, sort, pair them up, and move them back to the pastures that they came from.
What were the alleged charges that led to the confiscation?
They said it was due to overgrazing, is what the original JP had said. It was due to overgrazing, and then also there were some dead cattle on the property that they weren't able to see until they had flown the drone. And those cattle were all old cattle that had been put down by the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And also a couple of them had calving problems and never would get up, so they weren't visible from the road. They was off out in the pasture, but all of them were due to old age or calving issues, a couple of younger heifers. They scored them at a 2.2. our veterinarian after the appeal scored them like at a 4.5.
Are you talking body condition score? Wow. Eddie, I'm still confused on how all of this took place outside of the jurisdiction of the county. And I also want you to do something for Texas legalities for us to understand outside of Texas. The constable, how does the constable fit into the structure here?
Well, actually, she has the, or, and I say she because it's a lady constable. She actually has the authority to actually not involve our county sheriff. What we found out that she's kind of can run her own deal and bypass him if she wishes to, and that's pretty much what she did this round.
Every county has a constable plus a county sheriff.
Most of them do, yes, sir. Some I think have done away with their constables. Needed, and, mm-hmm. and all we ever thought a constable was for was the issue warrants or court appearances for the JPs or for the judges, and that was it. But we learned that they have a little more power than what we thought.
Yeah, I would guess there's a lot of learning that has taken place in this, whether you're directly involved or not. It's just part of the neighbors are coming together, standing up. This is just very heartwarming story, because so many times I've been involved with situations like this, from cattle to dogs to horses to you name the animal, and neighbors are afraid to get involved because they think they're going to be the next target. So we'll continue with Eddie Shelton from Goulad County, Texas, and figure out what exactly took place here and how what we can learn from it to prevent this from happening more and more often, which we know it's going to. Before we continue on, I want to remind you about Lone Creek Cattle Company, the opportunity to be a part of a branded beef program. If you're a Great Plains producer, you're very well positioned to be a part of this system. What it means is you take the Piedmontese bulls from Lone Creek, you put them on your cows, verify that each one of those calves has the myostatin gene, you qualify for the premium, and the premium is worth $180 over market price on a six-weight calf. Get details from Marlon Will about how this might work for you in 2022 and beyond. LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Back with more Eddie Shelton after this. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside from Texas, Eddie Shelton joining us, who is absolutely warming my heart and confusing me all at the same time. I know you don't have an answer, but I have to keep asking the question. How do these people think they can pull something off without the county authorities involved in the county they're in? I'm perplexed by how they rationalized in their own mind this was going to work for them.
Yes, sir. I'm fully with you and everybody else in the county as well. We're still trying to get to the bottom of that. Everybody concentrated on, you know, winning the appeal, and we ended up winning that. The cattle are back in Goulad County in the hands of the Padillas now. So now everybody's concentrating on backtracking on exactly how that happened and how to prevent it, you know, in the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an answer?
Not yet, other than at the elections. Mm-hmm. Vote them out.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But it's hard to vote out people that aren't even in your own county.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we got to start with the ones in our county and then, you know, start changing some local policies on how things are, you know, ran going forward in a situation like this.
Mm-hmm. What about your county, Sheriff? The involvement there was what it should have been?
No. And it was basically just because he wasn't, you know, made aware of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think going forward, he will be, you know, this kind of opened the eyes of everybody in the county, whether they were, you know, sheriffs or deputies or, you know, judges. Everybody's eyes have really opened up after this ordeal.
You know, you bring up a point that has really been our main point in our complete tour, which has been 53 stops in 32 states now. And that is the sheriff of the county takes an oath, or the parish if you're in Louisiana. The sheriff takes an oath to protect the citizens against enemies, foreign or domestic. And I think too many times, Eddie, we forget that when there's something comes up, the first person that we need to contact to help safeguard our rights and our property is the county sheriff. And what I'm hearing you say is that it just really didn't dawn on anybody to go to the sheriff first and say, hey, you're going to help protect this family who's just had their cattle stolen.
Right. Yeah, and the sheriff was contacted the day there was a handful of local ranchers found out what was going on whenever there was trailers backing up to, you know, the Padilla's pens. Mm-hmm. And the sheriff was contacted then. He was actually out of town. And, you know, said that he wasn't aware that was what was going on. And we ended up contacting our local county judge. He actually showed up on site. And then there was kind of some conflict between him, the constable, and the Humane Society guy from Brazoria County. They kind of had, you know, he was trying to shut him down. The Humane Society guy says, you can't shut me down. So there was kind of some back and forth there, and he didn't shut him down, but he wasn't sure just, you know, what was going on and exactly legally what he could do at that point, just because of what the Humane Society was telling him.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, we find out he could have done more that day, just wasn't, you know, I guess up to date on exactly what you can say and what you can do to the Humane Society. And now we know that a lot more could have been done that day.
Yeah, that's trial by fire, is it not?
Yes, sir. Yeah. But we're, like I said, the whole county, I think it was between the original hearing and the appeal hearing, there was like 8 days, 9 days. And within those 9 days, we secured them a new law firm. And then we also raised enough for their bond for their appeal was set at $72,500. And we managed to raise that much money for that bond so they could actually appeal it.
So at this point, knowing everything that we know, number one, there's stress on the cattle. Did they come back in as good a shape as they left, no matter how much stress had on? Yeah.
It's not possible. At the time, there was, the grass here now is like belly deep just from all the rain we've had the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time is when we were starting to get all that rain. Missouri County is known, they pretty much get rain every day of the year around the Houston area at some point. But that area was, 6-8 inches of mud that they were put in, lots of mosquitoes. Other ranchers we heard in that area were actually losing cows due to all the mosquitoes, just pretty much suffocating them on some of the bigger ranches around there. So the conditions were a lot worse where they went. And they also left back two baby calves that were left out in the brush and never did return to double check, make sure they had everything out of the pastures. And the Padillas actually found them the next day and were bottle feeding them, through this whole ordeal until their cows got back.
So who's going to be held accountable for all of that?
That's what we're working on right now, trying to find out who's going to be accountable, who we're going to hold accountable for those. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because somebody has to be accountable for, number one, the stress induced on these cows for loading them up and hauling them, and number two, what happened to them while they're there. Number three, the calves that were not returned. This is a massive court case in my mind.
You're right. Yes, sir. Yeah, I don't think it's all over yet. Like I said, we were concentrating on helping the Padillas on getting the case won and then getting their cattle back. And that happened, on the 7th. And now we're, concentrating on the next steps that we need to take to hold people that need to be accountable for it. And then, put some new policies in place for the county on, where cattle, one, don't leave the county in a situation like this next time. And different, procedures are followed.
Yeah, I want to clarify something just to make sure that everybody understands, including me. When you say the Humane Society, was it the local Humane Society or the Humane Society of the United States, the national fleecing organization?
Yeah, we don't have a local. The closest one is in Houston, so it's the Humane Society out of Houston. So it would be the National Humane Society.
Mm-hmm. The Humane Society of the United States.
You're
well,
right.
I think that people from all over the country should be willing to ante up and, more importantly, expose this crime. This is a crime against somebody who number one, they didn't have the authority to do what they did, and there must be accountability to these individuals to set the precedent that they can't do this. In more of a cowboy kind of a way, things have gotten better environmentally with rain and grass, and the outlook is a little better now, Eddie?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's people baling hay around here that's, 10, 15 bales per acre and belly deep grass. It's been a blessing. We were in a, going over a little 2-year drought, and then we had a hard freeze this past winter like we've never had here before. So maybe somebody up north had, had, but it was a pretty much shocker for everything around here.
Mm-hmm.
But now everything's all green and belly deep in grass, so it's all looking good.
Yeah, because of your hard freeze, I had a rolling blackout for a few days in Nebraska at my place, so thanks for that.
Yeah. We were out about 7 days, some people 10 days around here without power.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that weather event was the excuse for a power grid that's not sustainable, because the state of Texas has moved to 34% of the energy supply coming from wind and solar, and all experts have said that Texas cannot be more than 30%, or there's vulnerabilities, and yet your elected officials just keep charging on, Eddie. I don't understand it.
Yes, sir.
Well, we're going to wrap this up, Eddie, in the last minute here. Kind of give us a summation of what your experiences have been and what you think it means for your future. The all area ranchers, not you personally or the Padilla family.
Yeah, it pretty much woke up everybody, and everybody around here has learned more about the Texas law and the Humane Society, scenarios of stuff that's actually happened in other states, other counties that we weren't aware of. So it woke up a whole lot of people, and we actually started a new 501c3 group that we're in the process of putting together, or applying. Actually, everything's together. We just got to submit it, and it's going to be a Goliad County Livestock Coalition, and we're going to be working with all the local ranchers, and majority of the ranchers are on the part of the, you know, members of the coalition. So it's going to be a lot more eyes open around here, taking care of all of our, neighboring ranchers, and then also the election process around here. Everybody will be paying a lot more attention to going forward too, I believe.
Yep, grassroots making a difference. Go ahead, Eddie.
A lot more involved.
Getting involved. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the second half of Rural Routes after this.